You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to Psalm 23. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you. Thank you very much. Your word, your grace, your will, your glory. God help us that we might be all that we're supposed to be, should be, in order to help, encourage, and see the outworking of your goodwill, even in this country. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. God has us walking, living, knowing him in a wonderful way. That's what it means to be saved. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, the God would have us walk, and he repeats it all over the place, children of light, walk as children of light, etc. And we're to walk with him. And the grand example and the great person who, apart from our Lord, who exercises that is David. And we shared together a little bit ago now, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The deep darkness, evil all around me. Why not? For thou art with me. That's a direct statement to God. He's telling you, and then he says, God, it's to you. Thou art with me. He isn't saying, God will be with me. He said, God, thou art with me. Different. Keep going. And so I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over, if you would, to Psalm 31. And you remember a little journey we've taken. And you will note, please, in verse 15, my times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hands of mine enemies and from them that fear me. And again, my times are in thy hand. That's direct God. God, thou art with me. Thy times. Not my time, not David's times. God's times. Your times. Your working. Your outworking is in your hand, God. Thou art with me. Thy times. They're yours. They're not mine. And how to work them and how to make them work, only you can do it, God. After all, you're the creator. You're the only savior, the only God, and you have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful plan in the person of God the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, for all of creation forever, to glorify and honor your glorious, most glorious person. Now, having said that, my times are in thy hands. And looking, and then we go to verse 16, make thy face to shine upon thy servant, save me for thy mercy's sake. So remember we shared, he's looking to God. His times, God, my times are in your hands. Your times, God, are in your hands, I am. So I'm looking to you to take me down the corridor of time as only you can. I walk, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of deep darkness. Now, and therefore, make thy face to shine. I want God, I'm looking to you, I'm trusting you. That's what I'm doing. Now, slide all the way over to verse 24. Be of good courage, said David, in the light of his recording. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Everyone that's hoping in the Lord, waiting in the Lord, waiting for the Lord, waiting. Everyone that's hoping. God, you're going to do what? I'm going to go and strengthen. Strengthen the heart, the hands, and I'm going to give you a wonderful hope. So God, here we are looking to hope. So as we look at hope, just it's essential. Everything, you could have money and health and job and everything, but everything you have has to have hope. You don't go anywhere without hope, nowhere. Hope is the essential. Now, so when you, somewhere this morning maybe, or today, you will open your refrigerator. When you open your refrigerator, you are expecting something, aren't you? When you open your refrigerator, you're expecting, anticipating, hope. You're hoping something. When you stick the key in the door, front door or back door, whatever, when you put the key, you're hoping that the door will open. Isn't that why you put the key in? Why did you put the key in? You expect it, anticipate it to open. You put the key in the ignition of the car and you anticipate it. Why? Because you're hoping. You're always hoping. Always hoping what? Because the present must yield to the next moment and the next moment. You can't stay in any moment of time. Don't look at your watch yet. You can look at it in 1 hour and a half. Don't look at your watch. That hand is doing just like this. Just like this. And you can't stop it. You're hoping. Your whole world is, your whole existence is hoping. When you went to bed, you had some anticipation, maybe, of getting out of bed in the morning. Hoping, hoping. It's essential. Now, so that's what we're looking at. Here we are trying to move, but we can't go forward unless our hope is correct. And we, like we shared on Wednesday, we don't want to have the hypocrite's hope, like in Job, hanging onto a spider web to hold you up so to keep you from falling. So now, here we go. Here we are in chapter 33. Here's David again. And just picking up, just to get it where we're going, Psalm 33, picking up if I can in verse 18, you'll catch it. Well, I'm going to read just a little background to help us. Verse 33:13, the Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth, every one of us. He fashioneth their hearts alike, He's the creator. He gave us all a head, body, etc. Blood, brains, etc. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, pay attention. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. They're anticipating. God, how do we proceed? You've got to be merciful. We've shared that 1,000 times. You've got to have mercy. How do you handle your earthly old nature on planet Earth when things are in the middle of, we're surrounded in and without death, darkness, disease, everything? How do we handle it? God, you need mercy. What's mercy for? Misery. You've got misery, miserable. You need mercy to get out of it. Now, so, God, here we are. And verse, and what we're looking here, if I can, in verse 22, the last verse, while I'm thinking it. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. So if we don't expect anything out of you, God, we aren't going to get anything. We don't expect anything. We don't expect nothing. So, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over to Psalm 42. And you'll remember in Psalm 42, picking up if I may. In Psalm 42, here we are, and we've shared this, and we're going to pick it up again here. Sliding down, if I can, verse 3. In the light of a need, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Where is God? The world doesn't have, the unsaved heart doesn't have God. The world doesn't have God. The world system rejects God. The world system doesn't want anything to do with God. Socialism, communism, etc. They don't want anything to do with God. So what are we going to do? They want to know where your God. You talk about a God. Show me God. Show me God. Find God. Touch God. Smell God. Can't. Can't do it. No, you can't do it. No, you can't. Nope. What are you going to do? Verse 4. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with a multitude, and I went with them to the house of the Lord, a house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. They're all coming. What do they need? They need to get to God. They need to go to the temple. They need to go to church. They need to go where God. Where is God supposed to be? Well, he's everywhere. He's everywhere. He's in the bar room. He's in the dump. He's in City Hall. But there's no place like church, where the believers are assembled together. That's where his body is. And so what are you going to do? Well, that's where I'm going. I've got to get to God. And so the believing heart, in looking, where is your God? He runs, goes where God is. Now, having got there, we share together in verse 5, why art thou cast down? Because if you're going to have hope, got to have hope. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? You don't need to be down in the dumps, disappointed, depressed, etc. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted, all upset, anxious, divided mind, etc., anxiety, etc.? Thou art disquiet in me. What are we going to do? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Remember we said help, health, saving God, saving deliverance, saving grace. And of his countenance, the word countenance is face again, faces. So I'm looking to God, said the psalmist, believing hearts, looking to God, and I'm looking to God. I went to church, looked to God. I went to look to God, and I'm hoping, what are you doing? You're expecting what? Expecting God. Looking for God, anticipating God. That's what I'm going to do. And when I go there, what's he going to do? I'm going to look for him and his word. That's what I'm going to do. And as I look to him and his word, his help, his saving grace is going to go. I'm going to read, God's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. I'm going to read. That's what we're reading. That's what we're here for, to read about God. That's right. You're right. For the help of his countenance, God, now looking. And we share together the word, the Lord Jesus Christ, the word become flesh. And remember when we did this back 100 years ago, a little while ago, in the process, I'm looking to God. And as I look to God, if I look to God with just a normal, oh, I'm going to read the Bible and see if it helps. I'm going to read the Bible. So here's my little flashlight again. I'm going to read the Bible. Read the Bible. I'm going to read the Bible. Reading the Bible. I'm reading it. I'm reading it. But I don't know, God. I read a verse or two, and then I think about this. And I think about that. Maybe. I got to finish. And I do. That's how I read. I close the book. But if I come to God, I came to God, like coming to church, to find God, to open the book, to read the book. So when I read the book, I'm looking to the book, and I want to believe. Now, when I do that, when I look down, I'm believing. And when I look down, the Bible is lit up. It's talking to me. It's looking at me, looking at me. And as I believe and look at what God is saying, looking at God's word, God, and remember we read it Psalm 31, make thy face to what? Make thy face to shine upon me. Looking, God. And so as I look, boom, it changes. I see here. And when I'm looking down, I see here. Verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted? Same everything. Within me, hope. There it is again. Hope. Cause me to hope. Hope in God. Why? For I will yet praise him, who is the health, the healing, the saving grace. Is the health of my face, countenance face. It was his face, verse 5, as I look to God, gets to my face. As I look, I see God shining. And when I see God, it comes back to me. So I look again. I'm looking down, and then I look up. As I look, it's back on me. Verse 11, my face shines. What's happening? Well, it wasn't shining. It is shining. I'm looking to God. So as we look to God, hope thou in God. Our anticipation, our expectation. When you go to the doctor, don't you hope something? Don't you expect something? Don't you? You go there for a reason, you know. And you go there and you're hoping the doctor will be a doctor and do something. So that when he does, and he looks and looks sort of intensely at whatever it is, and then he smiles. He didn't say anything yet, but he smiles. And you smile. You don't even know anything yet. But then he tells you, oh yeah, I just have to cut off your head, but it's all right. It's all right, no problem. You got it. God, that's what we do. Hang on. It's a relationship. Hope. Now, then we shared on Wednesday, all the way over to Zechariah. As you know, we did on Wednesday. And picking up in Zechariah and chapter 9, if I can, Zechariah and chapter 9, and joined directly in the light of it all, we read together in that context in that, verse 12. Turn thou, what's he saying to the remnant in the days of Zerubbabel in that, Zechariah? Zerubbabel, Zechariah, Haggai, and they're there. They haven't got a lot going for them, not yet. A lot going for them. And now, turn you, make a turn, turn around. to the stronghold, to the strong one, we did all that. Ye prisoners of hope, even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. Now we shared together prisoners of hope. The word prisoner means a prisoner, someone who is bound in jail. If someone's in jail, they're bound. That's the word, prisoner, in jail. And wonderfully, the little word hope means to twist all the cords together. Remember we did, turn all the cords together and you make a rope. That's how you make a rope. You make a big rope, twisting little threads that hold nothing. But when they're all put together, boy, you got this great big rope that holds a big steamship. Wow. Wow. That's the word hope. It means from the verb to bind, to tie tightly together, to stretch and tie tightly together with a rope, tie it together. Prisoners, bound ones that are bound. You guys are bound to God. Prisoners of hope, prisoners that are bound, bound ones that are bound to God. That's wonderful. You can't get away. You're caught like in prison. God has you. What are you locked on to? Hope. What binds you to God? Hope. We're bound. We're prisoners. And we shared all those things on Wednesday. Remember now. The process, the word slave, doula, slave. Paul, we're slaves. We don't have to do all that. That's the word for the believers. The believers are sons, but they're slaves. The bottom of the pile. God's raised it up to the top. You slaves, you're my slaves. Bound to hope. Now hang on to that. Now we're ready. Over to Romans. And Romans in chapter 15. Romans in chapter 15. And you will know, please, our instructions. I'm going to go to verse 3. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. The Lord Jesus Christ bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Verse 4. For, whatsoever things were written, we've just been reading them from the Old Testament, whatsoever things were written aforetime, were written, why? For our learning, for our instruction, so we understand, for our learning. What for? That we, through patience, bearing up under the conditions and the load, carrying the load, think of that we, through patience and comfort, encouragement, being exhorted, encouraged, comfort of the scriptures, might have what? Hope. What are we reading the Bible for? Hope. So you can, why? Because your whole life is hope. Your whole world is hope. The clock doesn't stop. You're moving, whether you like it or not. So therefore, God, here's the Bible. What's the Bible? It's all about hope. Hang on. Verse 5. Now, the God of patience and consolation, comfort, grant you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. In other words, that ye may with one mind and with one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what unites us? Hope. What are we sitting for? To be moved, to be able to go forward correctly. And so we're bound. What are we bound with? Hope. Hope. Where's hope come from? God. One more, I don't want to leave this one. Verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Got to be believing. Remember the little light. Got to be believing. That purpose ye may abound in what? Hope. Not stingies. Lots of hope. Hope flooding a soul. Hang on. Verse 13, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Well, where's this going to come from? From God. Where are we going to have this abundant hope, this awesome expectancy? From God. Now, in order just to lock that in a little bit, go over, if you would, just to show you the scriptures. Again, First Timothy. 1 Timothy and chapter 1. And you will notice, I'm just going to read, and you can't read your Bible. What's the Bible for? To give you hope. So when you read the Bible, you're going to get hope. But again, you get the understanding is who, where we're moving, where are we going to? Well, the God of hope, who created us and saves us. In his presence we are. Hope. 1:1. 1 Timothy 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Hope. Christ, God, is hope. He's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful hope. Now hang on. Over to Titus. Not very far away. And Titus in chapter 1, and I pick up in thought, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Hope, God, our hope, and you're going to tie hope to eternal life. That's right. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And he's going to give you what? Life. Whose life? God's life. In the person and through the person of Jesus Christ. God, Christ our hope, Christ our life. The hope of eternal life. Verse 2, over to chapter 3. And in verse 7, that being justified, God saves us, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs, joint heirs, Romans 8, according, what assurance, what way are we going to have any place in heaven? To be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The expectancy, the anticipation of something. That's what God is your hope. A God, a Christ in you, the hope. And that's what you're going to have, what? Eternal life. What is eternal life? Life, eternal life is nothing but God, nothing less than God. Eternal life is a relationship to God. Who is life? God, who is our life. So God, we have a relationship. And what's that going to do? Well, we're here, Titus chapter 2. And in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope, and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So what are we doing? We're sitting, waiting, looking for his soon, imminent, immediate return, God willing. It's a blessed hope. Blessed. Our expectancy. What is it expected? Well, I may have lunch. No, before that. Before you ever hit the lunch. Before you ever get out of your seat. He could come. Blessed hope. That's expectancy. What keeps you going? He could come. Now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, if you would, go with me, please, over to the book of Romans and chapter 4. Let's do it a different way. hope, hope. Scripture is going to give us hope. God, the God of hope, the God of all, God of all hope. Romans chapter 4, and you recall the example, Abraham, picking up, please, in verse 18. Who against hope, this is Abraham, is impossible. It was, God loves impossible things. He does, and that's what you're hoping for. You're hoping that God loves impossible things and he just can do impossible. It's impossible. It's impossible to fix anything. It's so bad. You're right. Right. It's corrupt all the way down to the bottom. Impossible. Ah. No, not yes. Because nothing's impossible. That's what we shared Wednesday. Nothing's impossible. The possible is impossible is quite possible to God if it's in his will. No question. No questions asked. And don't tell God he can't do it, because he can do it. Now, so, God, here we're hoping. That's how we're going to get anywhere. Otherwise, we're going to get depressed, depleted, and except the world's going to be in great trouble. So, chapter 4, and in verse 19, chapter 4, of Abraham, verse 18, who against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now, God, remember, God told them that 25 years earlier. And then God waited 25 years till he became 100. How about 75? No, sir. No, you guys are going to try to get, you won't understand. I'm going to wait until you're 100, and then I'm going to do it. Then I'm going to do it, because it's impossible. That's right. Now, having said that, got that background. Verse 19, that not being weak in body faith, you're going to believe God, remember the light, going to believe, look up, the light's going to shine, uh-huh. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he, God, was able to do. Therefore, God's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. They say, that's good. That's good. Well, how am I going to have that? I'm not Abraham. No, we're not Abraham. Abraham's Abraham. Now, God, slide down to the end of verse chapter 4 and in verse 24. 4 and 24. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, made it put to our account, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who delivered us for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So why are we justified and declared righteous? Because he rose again, not because he died. He died to pay the penalty. He rose again to make you justified. Otherwise, you couldn't. What's the benefit? We don't have any benefit. Verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified, think of Abraham and all of that, therefore, chapter 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Uh-huh. By whom, O Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith. By faith, Abraham believed God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So God, there's a wonderful expectation of you and what's in mind. You justified us, declared us righteous, and God, and here's Abraham. Now God, what are we gonna, now how does that connect? Well, you connect it, chapter 5, if I can, in verse 3. Not only this hope of the glory of God, not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that the tribulation worketh patience, bearing up under the load, we just read it in Romans 13. Bearing up under the load. Verse 3 again. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations, And also, I don't mean to go that fast. Verse 2, I'll do the whole thing. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, bearing pressures, everything else, and also knowing that tribulation, trial, test, trouble, oppression, difficulty, the college of hard knocks, worketh patience. It helps us endure. You don't quit. You don't fall aside and I'm not going to do it. No, you hang in there and hang in there and work through. You hang in. You don't back off. You don't back down. Keep looking for it to be outworked. Patience. And patience, verse 4, produces experience. Every time you have to go through something, you are educated by it. Every time you have to do the multiplication table, you do the multiplication table, and pretty soon it becomes a little easier, you see. That's what you do. And it becomes normal. And you do it. Now, and so we do that. And tribulation, experience. So how do you got to go through what? All kinds of stuff, just growing up, fall down, break your nose, bloody knee, whatever you got to do, and you grow up and you stumble around. And you should have eaten your spinach and you didn't, and all the stuff, you know, all the stuff happens. And you grow up. That's what you do. You just get literally grow up. That's what we did. And in growing up, it's experience. That's experience. That's why you have the benefit of older people, if they're old enough. You have to be old enough so that they get wise enough to know that they don't know enough. And that's the one to talk to. Because why? They tell you how to get through the college of hard knocks because they've been through them. And they'll tell you. They won't tell you, oh, just do this and work. That's the young people. Old people don't tell you that. Old people are going to level with you if they're good, if they're with it. They say, don't do that. That won't work. It won't work. But it will. It will. My friends say it works. Marijuana says it works. The drugs work. Hold it. You better count again. It ain't going to work. I think they got that with the marijuana thing now, don't they? The big bad stuff about it. But it's trying to push it. Anyway, I don't get into that. It's crazy. The whole thing is. But, so God, experience. And experience produces what? Verse 4. Hope. Because you live through part 1, you go to part 2, part 3, part 4. The 4-year-old becomes 5. The 6-year-old becomes 10. And you keep working through it. And you get old. You learn. That's how you get through. You have the experiences and you keep plowing along and you keep having to hope. Not a hypocrite's hope because that's not going to go anywhere. So now, in verse 4, experience produces hope, a wonderful expectancy. And you get out of bed and do it again. You failed today, yesterday, you go to bed, get out of bed and start all over again. It's a new day, new time, and you start again. That's what I have to do, you have to do it, you know. We goofed, what can we say? You have to leave it and hopefully learn from it and you go to the next thing. Well, so, and hope, verse 5, maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So hope won't make us ashamed. Ashamed means I'm put to shame, disappointed, depressed, discouraged, it didn't happen. No. If you're with it and paying attention, God, he's the God of hope. And God's going to take you from square one to square two. That's what he's going to do. That's his will. You can't live it at one day and never go to the next day. You have to keep going. You have to keep growing. You have to keep growing and aging and everything else. Now, so therefore, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. God loves us. That's always a little kid. Everything happened. They just hit you. Remember years ago when they used to board the paddle for the sea to learning, whatever it was, I forgot. I used to have one of them. some of the people in the bookstore don't know, but they used to sell them in the bookstore. The board of education for the seat of learning. And they used to have them. And big board, this big, wow. And it did it, wow. That's what it did. And it helps, you know. You just sit there with a board like that, and the little kid says, I got it. Empty the wastebasket. Okay. Now, having said that, now, God, what's it do? It produces what? We love you. I want you to grow up. We don't want you to get it crooked. We want you to stay straight so you can make it. Otherwise, you aren't going to make it. You're going to get sidetracked. You won't even know what you are. You don't know whether you're male or female. You don't know what you are. Not you guys, but, you know. It's not very good. Now, so having said that, hope maketh not ashamed, and the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit of God is going to do that. Now, having said that, you got that. Now, keep staying on the same track and go over to chapter 8. And Romans chapter 8. And may I pick up, please, in thought. Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to pick up in verse 18. 8 and 18. For I reckon, calculate, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, I-N, inside us, by us. Wow, it's a wonderful glory that we're going to discover. And then you go reading, and it says, and we're looking for what? For the time's sake, verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, verse 23, chapter 8, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We're looking to get out of this body to get into the new one. That's what we're looking for. And we're looking for it. We're still in this body. We still got all the ills and aches and everything else. It's part of being in this body. We have to experience it. That's right. But, we're looking to get rescued. Rescued. And when you get older, people get older and the body gets beat up sometime, and you've seen it, you've probably seen people terminal time. They just want to get out of the body. That's what they do. They want to, that's what, rescue. That's right. There's nothing wrong with that. But when we're 20, vigorous 20, who wants to get out of the body, right? No, sir. See. So it's the same truth. It just took all those years for you to discover. You need to get out of the body. You need to get out of it. Now, having said that, so that's the context, verse 24. You aren't out of the body yet. No, for we are saved. We're looking for God to rescue us. We are saved, verse 24. We are saved by hope, in hope, God. What are we looking for? We're looking for what? We're looking to get out of the body. But we aren't out of the body. We are saved, we're rescued, we're delivered in hope. What's hope? You're going to get out of the body. The Lord's coming. Change us in the twinkling of an eye. It's going to happen. It hasn't happened yet. It will happen. And therefore, we hope. We read it in Titus 2:13. That we're looking for that. What kind of hope? Blessed hope. We're looking for a blessed hope to change us in a moment. That's what we're looking for. We're hoping. It's a hope. Hang on. Verse 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we hope with patience? Wait for it. We don't have it yet. That's why you're hoping for it. And once the Lord takes us up in the twinkling of an eye and changes us, you will never hope again like that. You'll never hope like that again. You're hoping now because it hasn't happened yet. You're looking for it to happen. You're hoping. Now, with that, remember what you read in Romans 5. And the Spirit of God sheds his love abroad in your heart as he fills you with hope. The God of hope, he's filling us. Therefore, as we keep going, chapter 8, picking up, please, in verse 25. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I don't know God. God has his wonderful plan and purpose. Verse 27. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit of God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, because he maketh intercession. God's going to talk to God. He's going to make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. God's out working his will. How so? Christ died on the cross to make it possible. The Spirit of God was given to make it possible. It's all being outworked for the glory of the Father. It's all being outworked. That's what it's doing. And the Spirit of God is part of the triangle, the triune God, all of it coming together. And God the Father talking to God the Son, talking to God the Spirit of God. There, in unity, boom, down the road. That's what we're doing. And that's what he's doing. I don't know. I'm not part. We're in it, but we aren't privy to know all that stuff. God does. He has a wonderful plan, and he's outworking it. That's what he's doing. So therefore, verse 27, for he searcheth the hearts, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit of God, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We don't know. So we don't know. How do we know what to pray? I tell you that nothing wrong with praying what you think you should. But then you have to leave it to God, because you don't know. And that helps us so that we don't have to be specific and get 5,000 people to pray that something will go up or down or something and pray. No, God, we've got to want God's will. That's what you want for our country, etc. You want God's will. History, we want history to outwork itself. We're part of it. Part of it, outworking itself. Wow. So God, here we are looking, and we don't know, but you know. So God, we're looking to you. Ah, now, what would you then think? Verse 28. And we know, what are we knowing? That all the things we don't even know what to pray for, know that all things work together for good, not evil. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of deep darkness, I will fear no evil. No. No. Why not? Because all things work together for good to them that love God. What's the Spirit of God's ministry? He's going to put all kinds of tests, trials, troubles, headaches, heartaches, fall down, get up again. Everything happens. Work, home, school. Wow. Yes, it does. But they all work together for good. And that, the love of God, the good to them that love God. I'm looking to God. That's the one. Remember the flashlight? Looking to God. I'm looking to God. I'm going to believe. That's going to come back to me. My face is going to be moved. I'm moved. I'm encouraged. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them which are called according to his purpose. Wow. That's what you're going to do, God. That's right. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it in the most wonderful way. And I'm going to make everything work out for good. And by the way, you're jumping a little bit in the light of everything. Verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, or since God is for us, who can be against us? Remember what you read in Psalm 42? Where is thy God? Psalm 115. Our God is in the heavens, doing whatever he pleases. That's what our God is doing. And we're looking to God, our home. Our heart, little place of business, God's running the universe. I said this 1,000 times over the years. God's running the universe from your heart. Do you understand that? You have to think about it. God took you and put you took you in his son. Now, God, what are we going to know? Well, that's what you did, God, so that all things were together. But good. And if you be for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? You're for us. That's right. So, God, I need to know that. So not only that, verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us the two words, all things. Sliding back over to verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good. And I remember I never said they're all good. They work together for good. They work together for good. They make it so that you're looking for God's will to outwork itself. That's what you're looking for. And God's going to do that. That's what you're going to do. Got to do it. That's what God's going to do. And he's going to do all things. That's right. That God has a wonderful plan, wonderful purpose for your life and for mine. Now, and therefore, verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Sliding over to verse 26, the Spirit of God is making intercession. God, the Holy Spirit, is thinking about you right now. God the Son is thinking about you right now. And God the Father is thinking about you right now. Right now. Now, I know you say you get lost. You can't get lost. You can't get lost. If you're saved, that's where it is. And God's running the universe. That's what he does. How far do I have to go to God? I don't. Neither do you. We've shared it 1,000 times. You're part of the body. It's an awesome thing. A relation. That's what we're here for. We're part of the body. That's right. Wow. I've got to quit. It isn't time to quit yet, but I got to quit. I'll try to finish this and tackle anointing. Anointing is wonderful. All of this is going to go together, you know. Did I tell you that? All of it connects. The table, the anointing, the cup, all of it fits. The hind's feet to climb the high places, all of it's coming. Our Father and God, thank you for caring and loving us. And God, we're looking to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. God, we can relax in an awesome time. And it's only because of you, God. We aren't in charge. We aren't in control. The fear is there. The control is there. The conformity is there. All of the movement is there in an awesome way, never before seen in our country. God, it's an awesome thing. But God, here we are. So God, there's no way to get us. God, we're prisoners. We're bound ones. Bound to you. Hope. Bound to be bound, to tied, stretched around you. God, you've tied us up in your wonderful person, to your wonderful person. And God, we aren't to escape. No one's able to take us out of your hand. God, our times are in thy hand. Here we are, God. Make it all come out. Thank you, our hope, our wonderful anticipation of you, looking to you. Thank you, thank you, thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.